we've allocated some months to look at certain subjects where we want to look to God to actually take us up another level. Last month, September, we looked at healing. Okay? This month, we've looked at finances. And I find it very difficult this morning to follow what Jonathan brought last week, because I thought it was excellent when he spoke on finances. The only problem was the recording didn't come out, so you can't listen to it on the website. So we ain't got it. So, but anyway, many of you are here, many of you heard it, and at some time or other, I mean, if any of you want them, it might be that I scribble out the notes that I've made, and just in case people come and ask me for them, because it was so good, wasn't it? Yeah, that's right. Okay. Just let me ask the Lord to just give me wisdom over this. Time's going on already. The last two that I've done on finance, I mean, it's gone on a long time. And I know that, you know, I could sneak a few minutes because we've been out in the car park when the alarm went off. But let's just pray and let's just make sure we go right to the heart of what he wants to say. Amen? I mean, this is another area where I've seen God's faithfulness. And we'll probably talk about that. Father, we just thank you that you want to speak to people about finances. You want to speak to people about stewardship. You would not have put it in the Bible so often and in so many words if it weren't important on your heart. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'll take the scales from our eyes, if there are any, Lord, that we might see clearly as regards how you want us to steward what you've given us. Just come now, Lord, and speak to each one of us. Show us. Give us that revelation. Yes, Lord. Just let it come, Lord. Yes, Lord. A spirit of revelation upon us this morning, that we would see what you are saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Do you know it says in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7, the love of money is the root of all evil. People often interpret that as the love of money. Sorry, that money is the root of all evil. But it's not. It's the love of it. It's the love of it. It's where we put our affections. It's where we put our emotions. It's where we put our attention. That's where love is. You know, I think that even the decisions in which we make in life, do we make them conscious of the fact that God should have the final word, or whether the financial implications of it has the final word? It's very interesting because of the fact that, you know, these people that, like Heidi Baker, successful ministries around the world, they've actually seen amazing things but had to trust God for the finances. And being tested as regards whether money is their God or whether the Lord is their God. Amen? And I believe that in these days when there is greater prosperity, certainly in the Western world, and even when you go to Africa now, I mean, shopping malls going up in places, I mean, you know, that you wouldn't have imagined a few years ago. There's more things for people to purchase, more things to draw our attention. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, anybody heard of him? I think it was him that was part of the group of pastors that, over 3,000 of them, wrote to Hitler because they were unhappy with what he was doing. And he said that he would actually see, Hitler said that he would see that their incomes would be taken away from them. And it finished up, I've heard, that Dietrich was the only person that still stood. I heard all the others back down. Because the principle was more important than his finances to him. Finally, I mean, I think it was in 1944 or 45, I mean, he was hung at the age of 39. And, you know, if it had just been a bit longer, I mean, the war would have come to an end. But with him, money was not going to take the final word, if you like. God was going to take the final word. Amen? Psalm 124. Turn with me to Psalm 124. You see, the thing is, that in Psalm 124 it says, if the Lord hath not been on our side, let Israel say, the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us. What the biggest problem is really like Jonathan said last week in my notes, is money our servant? Or is it our master? And when God actually gives us anything, whether it's protection, whether it's healing, this psalm here, all the way through from 1 to 8, it talks about the various things that God has done. But the focus at the end is the understanding that it's God that does it. Quite often we think with finances, well, I've done all my studies, served my time, invested correctly, and what have you. But this psalm would actually encourage us to say, regardless of all that, I only got it because of the goodness of God. Not through my own efforts, not through my own wisdom. Sometimes we can actually think of it as, well, didn't I do well? Didn't I, you know, weren't I good? I worked hard. I put 16 hours a day in. Well, that's not necessarily good because you probably neglect your family, I mean, in the process. Probably neglect your wife, neglect your friends. If you're part of church, you would neglect church probably. And that's one thing that I wanted to do this morning, because not only was I reflecting on the goodness of God over the past, what is it now? It's getting on for 40 years, isn't it, since I gave my life to the Lord, about his faithfulness to me. I was also came in a place of repentance because of the fact that sometimes I've not always given God the credit for what he's given me and how he's blessed me. I remember when I worked for Mulberry Studios, I mean, the sales that I did rocketed very, very quickly. You know, something like 4 or 5-fold. I mean, of what they were turning over before for the area in which I was selling into. And people had start talking to me in the trade as regards word had got round about how good you are and things like that. You know, you can soon soak that up and it having a wrong effect on your heart. Because it's God that does it. It's his grace. And I've known other times when I've stepped out of his plan, if you like, and things have just been hard and difficult. Most of us have known that, haven't we? I poured out my heart this morning and I just knew that his hand had been upon my life, but had I always been appreciative of what he'd done, whether it be financially or anything else. God has been good to me, but I've not been always that wise with what he's given me. I've been reading a book of Chris Vallotton's, and when he first went to Bethel, I think he owned something like 9 businesses, 9 companies. And he joined Bethel, and he'd put his businesses on the market, all of them, a year prior. And the biggest one, some big, huge company were buying him out. You know, for a year the deal was going through. Yeah, we're going to pay you next month. We're going to pay you for the business next month. We're going to pay you for the business next month. And finally, 2 weeks into being at Bethel, they went bankrupt. And Chris Vallotton finished up £1.3 million in debt. So he turned round and he said to the leaders at Bethel at the time, he said, I'm going to quit. I'm going to have to go back to work. Whoa, they said, hang on a minute. They said, let's believe God. Let's stand with you. A miracle after miracle happened for him to clear his debts within 6 months. But you know, he says that he, every time people gave him money, he felt very undeserving of it. So those people that gave him it, he would then avoid. You see them coming towards him up the street. Oh, well, duck in the shop or go across the road or keep out of their way, or if you see them in church. Because sometimes we actually feel that we don't really deserve it, the goodness of God. But the reason I told you all that was for this. On a lot smaller scale, I was the same. And he said that I never really enjoyed the days in which I had prosperity. And he says, all the businesses that they ran were good. He says, but I used to make stupid mistakes with investments. Use the money that you got wrongly. And you know, I had to repent of that this morning. And I said to the Lord, I haven't been all that wise with a lot of what you've given me. And I just poured my heart out to him and I asked him to forgive me. Because it comes back to what we looked at 2 or 3 weeks ago when I spoke about finances before. Do we see ourselves as a steward of anything that God gives us, whether it be a house, car, or finances? Or do we think of ourselves as an owner? Because if we think of ourselves as an owner, we've forgotten that it's God that's actually given us it. Turn with me to, just to save time, I'll read it out because I've got it here. Deuteronomy 8:18. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. If you and I don't realize that, and remember that we can only access this because of his goodness and his mercy towards us, one, will be ungrateful, and two, with all probability, we won't handle it wisely. Do you know, it's a fact, I mean, and this is American figures. Lottery winners are more likely to declare bankruptcy within 3 to 5 years. Within the 3 to 5 years in America. 3 to 5 years after winning what I call the national mockery. Probably the statistics are very similar here in Britain. a fact. Only 2 years after retirement, 78% of NFL players, that's American rugby, or American football, rather, players are either broke or struggling financially. We need God. We need God not just to fill the vacuum in our heart, not just to have a relationship, not just to redeem us, but we need him as regards wisdom of handling everything he gives us. Is that right? Even this temple, probably the reason that I finished up with those problems in my body is because I didn't take care of it properly. I didn't nourish it right. I didn't eat the right things. I didn't get the right exercise. And one day God will say to me, okay, how do you look after the temple? Did you look after it correctly? One big preacher in America, I mean, he's got an aeroplane. But I mean, and God said to him one day, I want, you know, put some cheap oil in the aeroplane. And he said, no. He says, I'd always put the best oil, I mean, in that aeroplane. I'd use only the very best. He said, well, why is it that you'll just put anything inside your body? You don't even consider it. Where it's been made, who's handled it, who's processed it, what sort of flavourings they've put in it, where the flavourings have come from. We need wisdom as regards handling and being good custodians of what God's given us. You know, sometimes people will look after their house and their garden better than they'll look after their body. And I'm guilty of it. And I'm pouring my heart out this morning to God and asking him to forgive me. Over the past few weeks, I've sort of pulled myself together for six weeks now, maybe just before Terrier came, and I've actually made a commitment. I'm going to lose weight. And over the past few weeks, I have lost about a pound or a pound and a half a week. It's not bad, is it? You imagine what that'll be like in a year if I keep it going. Pardon? 3 stone in a year, is it? All right. Well, I hope I lose more than that. But anyway, yeah. So some of these statistics, I'll save time, but it goes on and on and on as regards, I mean, generally. And I said when I spoke before that these pop singers. When I was a teenager, I mean, all of a sudden, 16 years of age, 17 years of age, multimillionaires, just like that. And to be quite honest with you, it was like giving a baby a loaded revolver. They didn't know how to handle it. Many of them finished up dead by the early 20s or late 20s, some of them, and what have you, just did not know how to handle the money. No wonder God put so many words in the Bible as regards, I mean, money. I said the other week that, what was it? Is it 400 words on prayer and 600 on faith and over 2,000 on how we handle money? Sometimes people say, well, if God says something once, it's important. If he says it twice, it's really important. If he says it 3 times, it's really, really important that you get a hold of it. Now he's talking about it over 2,000 times. And it's a subject that's never hardly brought up in church. And quite often people are put off by the fact that you go on TV, listen to the Christian programs and what have you, buy this pen for £100 or whatever and support the ministry and what have you. You know, we've made our mind up of Karen and I, whatever happens here, we're going to actually give people the opportunity to give. But you get in my face if you ever think it's pressure. I don't want money going in those baskets that are pressurized to put in. You give them freely, because I tell you something, God don't want it in there. He'd rather you keep it. And I gave the example of, imagine if it was your birthday and somebody gave you 50 quid and before they got outside the door, you could read their mind and you could tell that they were regretting giving it you. What would you feel like, eh? Well, God's exactly the same. He said, keep it. Because it's a heart thing. God's not short of money. He's just short of people who can become right channels to get it into the place where he wants it. It's about how we view it, about how we view what is put in our hands. Amen? People say, it's my money and I worked for it. That's true in one sense, but God wants us to see it as we are stewards. We're just handling what's his. Because those are the people that he can use to get it into the place where he needs it. Because he ain't got any shortage of money. Amen? You know, the next thing, are you godly rich or worldly rich? Ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value, according to Proverbs 10:2. Turn with me to Isaiah 32. Those who are looking at their Bibles, Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. Here we go. 7 and 8. The scoundrel's methods are wicked. He makes up evil schemes to destroy the poor with lies. Even when the plea of the needy is just. But the noble man makes noble plans, and by noble deeds he stands. You know, this is a very good example of our handling of anything that God gives us. There is one where it's mine. There's another where it's realizing that I am responsible for what I do with it. In looking after my family, looking after my home, and giving God what he wants me to give to him. Jonathan talked about the order of priority with our finances. I mean, family, you know, our children, our wife, a responsibility. And you know, sometimes because of my bad decisions, I mean, you know, I failed in that area because of bad decisions. And I'm wanting myself, I wanted myself to walk in that place where I can honor God with whatever he's got. Number three, you protect your wealth through tithing. You know, now, whether you believe in tithing or whether you don't, whether it's just generous giving, but at the end of the day, God and his work is a good investment. If you want to invest money, he is a good investment. Do you know, I personally believe, and I've said it in here a few weeks ago, that, you know, there are things that we could do to reach people of this town. You know, like, for instance, bringing the elderly in, having a service in here during the week. The care homes will let us bring them in. The mobile ones, those that can get on a bus or whatever, you could bring them in here. You know, somebody invests a few thousand pounds, you could probably see, I don't know how many saved, every single week. There are some things that are a good investment. And God will bless those who give into the right place and with the right motive. Amen? Number four, are you known for your generosity? Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, and that's the NIV version. You know, it's... You know, Karen and I have given a couple of cars away over the years. I mean, whilst we've been married and what have you. But you hear about people who give houses away, don't they? You know, God tells them, give that house away, you know. probably just a free channel. When we had a ministry fund going, I mean, you know, where a few thousand pounds were coming in a year, you know, we'd got money to bless other people. We're still paying a Karen and I for a pastor's wages out in Zambia. God loves a cheerful giver. He's looking for the opportunity to bless somebody else. It's the very heart of God. I mean, God is the ultimate giver. He is a giver. He is love himself. He gave the best thing he could for you and me. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You're not going to outgive him. Because he gave everything that was needed to make sure you got your salvation. And the whole package of it. Is that right? Okay, I'm going to whip through these last bits. Okay, that's number four. Number five, you put God first, even in abundance. You know, sometimes we can get into a place whereby we think, well, I can't afford to give. My attitude since I've been born again, most of that time, there was a blip in the 90s. But it's actually been whereby I can't afford not to give. I can't afford not to give. Because I realize that I only have because of his goodness. It's him that gives me it. It's not going to be my own efforts. Yes, I will have to put some effort in. You will have to work and what have you. But the grace of God that gives you the pay rise and the promotion and things like that, it's him. It's him. And it's his grace. Amen? A scripture for that, Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen? Number six, you don't put your trust in wealth. Command in, this is 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to put their hope in wealth. You know, once again, that's idolatry, really. Putting your trust in an earthly thing rather than putting your trust in God. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Once again, that's NIV version. Finally, number seven. You are not even the slightest bit prideful about your wealth. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. 1 Timothy 6:17 again, that's another part of it. So we can actually, once again, through thinking that it's our efforts and it's not the grace of God, that we actually think, you know, it's ours and we deserve it and we can do what we want with it because we worked hard. And we're not holding it lightly before him. This is not pressurizing, is it? It's talking about the Word of God. You know, we've got a lot of things that we want to do here. I mean, like investing in a generation younger than us. We might retire, I mean, in a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever. I don't know. But we don't want to put this church in a place whereby you have somebody come in here and preach, then somebody the week after, come bring one of them back to preach a second time, and then you have to make your mind up whether they take over. Wouldn't it be good, I mean, if we picked from some of the hungry people that God has given us in this church? Amen? And that we pass the baton on to somebody younger than us. So, okay. Let's finish on Proverbs 10 and 22. Proverbs 10, 22. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. A lot of people would like to change that, wouldn't they? But the thing is, you see, can God trust us with wealth? And those seven things that I've put up over to you, we need to analyze those and say, do I fit into what the Word of God is saying? And from that, do I think that God would trust me with wealth? Would he trust me with it? Or would it be whereby I'd just shipwreck my life, spend it on my own pleasures, get a few more holidays in? Or would I honor God with what he'd given me? Amen? Let's just pray, shall we? Father, we just thank you for the abundance in which you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that you've blessed our lives. Yes, Lord. And none greater by the fact that you've let your precious Son die upon that cross to cover all our failings and all our needs. Who would have ever done that for us? And so, Lord, we pray that you will take us up another level of being responsible for your resources. We cry out to you, Lord, that you would provide for this church, provide for the people in it, provide jobs for those who need it, Lord. Yes. 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 Provide promotion for those who need it. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Bless you. Is God good? Amen. Amen.